Yes, sir. Now, before I get started, I want to humbly thank all of y'all who continue to listen to me and who continue to share my podcast, because this does mean a lot to me. This is my method of therapy. This is my outlet. And for people to actually, you know, provide feedback to it, and all good feedback, I haven't heard anything bad. I'm very, very, very thankful of it. I wanted to verbally say that to all of you that I speak to, those who I haven't spoken to, everybody that's tuned in, thank you. Now, today, I wanted to get into 9-to-5 W-2 status people versus street hustling. And the reason I wanted to get into that is because I'm starting to see more divisiveness between the two groups of people. And I'm not even here to say which, you know, one is right, one is wrong, one is better than the other. I'm just here to point out the differences and the pros and the cons, because there are pros and cons to both of them. And one of the main cons I noticed is you don't really hear too many people that go to work. You don't hear too much judgment from those people on, well, not people, I mean, let me back up. I'm going to only speak for me, because I could really care less what other people have to say about something like that. I don't judge people that hustle or do whatever they do in the streets, because I look at you sideways if you're sitting at home doing absolutely nothing, not making any money. Now, that's a whole different ball game to me. You get looked at funny for that. But people who hustle, a lot of people I know who hustle look at people who work like in a real condescending way, like, you know, I'm not gonna work for the man, I'm not nobody's slave, I'm, you know, this and that and the third. They say all kind of slick stuff like that, and I don't necessarily take offense to it, because I know personally a lot of the people that I've seen over the years that were deep into hustling and really into the streets like that, I seen firsthand what it got them. And we all know how that works. You know, especially in a town like the one we live in, there are people that are telling on each other left and right. It's all kind of cooperation with the police and the feds. There's all kind of stuff going on. So it's an even shorter dead end road for most people. And there were people that used to, you know, say that type of stuff to me, like, oh, man, you work a job, you don't know nothing. You know, those are the same people I looked up 6 months, a year later, and these people were sent off to prison. And what happens? You know, they make all the fast money, but where does it go? Lawyer fees, you know, to take care of yourself when you go in there, because we know how that works also. When and if you do get locked up, people are only going to hold you down for so long. You know, you might have one or two that stick it out with you, but for the most part, you're going to be forgotten within that first year or two. So that's how it goes. So all that money, you say, most of the time, these cats that are hustling, they're not even managing their money right. You know, it's because it's coming fast. And, you know, there are people that have more street smarts than I do. You know, and I'm okay with that. I'm all right with admitting that. So there are some people that can balance it and do both. And we'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, there were guys I knew that were really into that type of stuff. And it just turned out all bad from them. You know, they come and scoop you up. All your money, you know, pretty much vanishes into thin air. You know, you do your few years, do a couple years, you get out and you're right back to square one. You know, now what do you have? You're right back. And even on top of that, when these people, when a lot of street cats get locked up, they look to the guys that are like decent on paper to do stuff for them. You know, because the other guys that they, you know, they're doing street business with, they usually can't really even depend on them, because those guys are, you know, they are in the middle of the hustle and bustle, and they're in the same position you were before you went. So if you can even get in contact with them. From what I hear, it's like pulling teeth to get those same guys that you hustle with to look out for you. So what happens? They end up leaning on the person that has some kind of discipline and some kind of money management, because you might not be making, you know, everyday money, but you have a steady flow of income. And that's what a lot of guys miss out on with the hustle, is having to make it work. And that is, that's one thing that I learned. I've been working since 14. My very first job was working at Arby's. My parents taught me how to put up this much. You can, you know, if my check was $300, I'm putting up $250. You know, and that other $50 is me. Whatever I choose to blow that $50 on, then that's what I choose to blow it on. But, you know, what that teaches you is money management, and that you can't just go out here and blow everything because you know you'll get it back. And that's what, you know, that's kind of what, that's a model of hustling. It's backwards hustling, but hustling nonetheless, is knowing that you'll get it right back the next day, or you'll get it back later that night, because you got this coming through. You got this person you know is going to call you. We know how that works. So it's not like I don't understand the aspect of the hustling, but it's just, it's bad. It's a bad look when this group of people tries to judge this group of people, because they may make, you know, their money faster. Another thing is, some of the guys I know that hustle with the most money, they're kind of stuck with it. Because at that point, you could have $250,000. If you want to go and get, you want to go and get a house, or you want, you know, certain things that they like to look at, your paper trail and your credit and all of that good stuff. They like to look at things like that. Now, I might not have, I don't have $250,000 in cash to go and take to a realtor like, hey, go get me this house. But on paper, they look and they'll say, okay, Raymond is good for this. We don't have to worry about him. He doesn't have any big gaps in his work history. You know, I look like the model responsible person on paper, not just look, I am. But a lot of guys that hustle, they struggle with getting things done on the legal side, because all they have is the cash. Now, on the streets, cash is king. We know that. You know, that'll get whatever you want done. But everything isn't handled in the streets. And after a certain amount of time, individuals get tired of doing everything in the streets. You know, some guys want to go legal. And, you know, for people that don't know, it's like you can't just go to the bank and just dump $200,000 in there. Like, or you can't go in there and just take out. They have a whole stack of paperwork that you have to fill out, so they'll, you know, be reassured that you're not funneling dirty money through their bank or their credit union. So what do you have? You have the whole shoebox money thing, money in the attic, money in the mattress, you know, money in the floors, money in the walls. You have all of that going on. And that's a danger within itself, because people talk. And if somebody was to, say, for instance, somebody was to come and drop a brick at my house right now, that word would get around so fast that I have that access to something like that. People, before you know it, people are plotting on you, and people are trying to find ways to get whatever excess you got from you. And that's another difference between working and hustling, because I've had plenty of opportunities to just jump onto that side of the fence and take off with that. But it was always a thought in the back of my head, like, I don't want to deal, and this is speaking for me only, I know everybody doesn't go through this, I didn't want to deal with that paranoia of always wondering if somebody is paying attention or if somebody is watching what I have going on, because there's always somebody out there looking to take what the next man has, because they don't have any kind of hustle. It's easier to just take it. It's easier to rob. Some people don't have a conscience. They don't see right and wrong. All they see is where their next dollar is coming from. And that is a dynamic that comes along with hustling. Now, I feel like there is a smart way to do it. Like, if you're gonna hustle, learn how to invest in certain things, because especially nowadays, like, investing in stuff, if I was a street hustler, man, as fast as that money comes, I'd be investing in stuff that is going to generate a second flow of income, passive income. For those that don't know, passive income is money that's being made while you're doing nothing, while you're sleeping. It's generating money. And stocks is one of the, you know, main ways that a lot of people do that. And the high level street hustlers, that's what eventually they get into. You know, that's why you see the rappers buying franchises and, you know, Wingstops and Fat Burgers, and that's all passive income, because you have this money that you've made over the last week or so that can damn near finance a whole franchise. You put it there and, you know, it automatically starts from there on. It's like a whole snowball effect. But let's be honest, the majority of street hustlers we know, that's not the way that they're on. You know, the way they're on is flexing and flashing and just showing they got it. Which, as a young guy, I mean, I get it. You know, I'm not gonna sit here and knock it, because we're so used to having nothing that when we get it, it's like we hold on to it, and we want people to know, like, you know, I'm out here doing something, I'm getting busy. So I do get that part. But once you get to a certain age, especially if you got kids, you live a situation that's different, your mindset is supposed to grow with your situation. So take, for instance, me. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time I just walked around with a pocket full of money. I was probably early 20s, 21, 22, when I walked around with a pocket full of money. Now I carry my debit card and my CPL on me. That's all I carry. You know, I'm not into being at the gas station whipping out a wad of money. I have nobody to impress. That's just me, though. That is me. Not to knock anybody that does it. It's all a phase, though. You know, I've been through that phase, so I feel like I have the right and the experience to talk about this, because I love seeing, you know, people that I know. I love seeing people have it. Because, you know, it makes you feel good about yourself when you can go and buy stuff you want, and you can look out for the people around you. There's no better feeling than that to me. It's just, you know, I'd be selling my people short if I didn't put that bug in their ear, like, you know, you got it. What are you looking forward to doing with it? I can't tell anybody what to do with their money, but as your people, as your friend, as your associate, let's say, okay, if we're gonna flash it, what are we looking into? What are you planning on? Because there are ways to, you know, there are ways to double and triple that money. And it really boils down to, at the end of the day, a lot of us were never just shown that. You know, like in school, we weren't taught that. They didn't teach us finances in school. All they taught us was to, you know, get good grades, go and get a job. That's what the majority of us were taught. So a lot of this is stuff that we're picking up on after school, and we're fumbling and learning along the way. So we kind of have to communicate between each other and put each other up on game. Like, you know, this would be a good look. Like, this stock is rising. Like, you take right now, I just seen an article about there being, about California, they're going to stop selling new gas-powered cars by the year 2035. And I was going through the comments on YouTube, and I seen on there a black guy, he said the stock in Tesla is about to skyrocket. Now, if I was a street hustler and I just had a few thousand sitting around, I'm dumping money into something like that, because that makes perfect sense. You got to learn to look at the trends on what's happening and what's about to happen. You know, if they're saying, okay, we're moving away from this, you got to know what they're moving towards, because they're not, the left hand doesn't rarely tell what the right hand is doing, but always know that right hand is up to something. So you have to know where the money is going, where the money is moving to. And that's the type of stuff I like to, you know, present to people around me. Is like, dude, if you got it, look into stuff that's going to, you know, advance you further and relieve some of that stress. Because going back to what I said earlier, that paranoia of hustling was what kept me away from doing it, you know. And when you can balance both, like, That's one of the smartest ways to do it to me is if you work and you have a side, you choose to have some kind of side hustle, whether it's something legit or, you know, whatever. No, do it the right way, because when you put all your eggs in one basket and you have that I have to get every last dollar mentality, what you end up doing is you're trying to catch every sale. You're trying to catch every swerve. And that's where cats go wrong. That's where cats get locked up. That's where cats end up serving stuff to undercovers and people that'll just give you up when they get pulled over with something after they leave from pulling up on you. That's how that happens. The higher, the more involved, the more you do with it, the higher the risk. So when you say you have a regular job and you're side hustling, you're not really pressed to get every last penny out there because you know that there's there is that risk of you getting caught up with that. It only takes one. And that's something a lot of street hustlers don't think about. It literally only takes one. One person that is, they don't value your freedom. Most people you come across don't. They don't value your freedom. They value their own. So at the end of the day, you always have to keep that in mind. And I know there's, you know, it may be somebody listening to this right now that has probably never even looked at it like that. It only takes one. It could be your next one. It could be your last one. But it only takes one. And then, you know, you hear, there's like, 100% I'm with being self-sufficient, but not half as self-sufficient. So when you hear guys say stuff like, oh, well, I'm not working for the man. I'm not doing this for the man. I'm not doing that for the man. Okay, you're not getting up and going to work for the man. But when your car breaks down, you take your car to the man to get it fixed, don't you? Either way, you're giving them money. When certain things happen, you're still dealing with the man. So that's like, I get it where that mindset comes from. It's because we want to be self-sufficient, 100%. But at the end of the day, if you're not going to be completely self-sufficient, then what are we doing? You're going to the grocery store. You're giving the man your money. You're eating. You know, the man is literally feeding you. So it's not even about your job. It's like, you know, the man, per se, is, so, you know, we're in a whole system to where that's the umbrella we're under. Like, the man has his hand in so many different things. It's like right now, we're at a point of where we can't even get away from it, really, unless we totally separate, but get away from, you know, completely. But that's a totally different conversation. And depending on the type of, just to speak more on the 9-to-5 side, me personally, I've always managed to find jobs to where I literally got paid to sit and do nothing, or my job, like, and this is anybody that works a job, you know, like, once you do it for so long, it becomes a second nature. And unless you just picked a terrible job, you're not getting up dreading going to work. And if you do find something else, it's like you're not tied down to one thing. And that whole thing they told us when we were younger, or told some of us were told this, you know, find a job that you enjoy doing, you know, that's actually a thing. You know, that's the space I'm at now. Like, I don't dread getting up and going to work. I don't have to drag myself to work. It's like, I go in here, I chill out, get paid, come home. You know, there's no stress attached to it. There's no paranoia attached to it. There's nothing extra attached to it other than the check. Now, there are 24 hours in a day. I spend 8 at work, and I don't do 9-to-5. You want to be honest, I work 6:45 to 3:15. So when I get out of work, I still have, you know, the rest of my day to do whatever, you know, whether it be podcasting, whether it's exercising, doing stuff with the wife, doing stuff with the kids. If I'm playing the game, it's all kind of stuff that I can do with the rest of my day. So if you really want to be honest, at 3:15, I've made the money. I'm not stretching myself out to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. It's not 24 hours. And a lot of entrepreneurs, they'll tell you that. Like, you know, there's the whole thing about being your own boss. But what a lot of people don't say comes with that is your hustle is endless. You know, and that can take a physical toll on you. That can take a mental toll on you. There's stuff that comes with both. Just like, well, in my situation, if I had to just get up and walk out of work, I could do that. But most people can't do that. So yeah, your time is when you take a job, you're obligating your time for X amount of dollars. That's literally all the job is. But there are so many variations of it. It just sounds stupid when people try to shut down the word job, like that's just the worst thing you can be doing is getting up and going to work. Those are people that just never really, either they've never worked or they just, something has happened to them that have completely turned them off to it. And, you know, I get that. But just like they can say that, I could look at somebody and say, okay, well, you're hustling, you're making, you know, you make $1,500 and you got to give back $1,000 of it to start over and rip. And, you know, however your hustle is set up, obviously it's different. But a lot of cats will make it seem like every dollar that they have is all theirs. And if you know anything about the streets, that's not how it works. You have an overhead. That some of that money has to go back to keep your wheels rolling. So unless you're just a man like that and you have it, which some people do, but I'm speaking generally here. That's not everybody's case. So there are ups and downs. There's a yin and yang to both sides. It's ups and downs to working. It's ups and downs to hustling. I'm not going to, like I said, I won't say one is better than the other. I never sit here and be like, oh, dude, you sell this? Like, you're beneath me. I don't look down on people like that. That's not my place. Never has been. I like being around people that are getting stuff done, no matter what side of the fence you're on, as long as you're getting something done. Long as you're taking care of yourself, you got kids, long as you're taking care of your kids, you got people around you, long as you're holding them down, that's what I look at. You know, and then as long as you're not out here stealing from people. One thing I hate is a thief. Long as you're not on that side, I could really care less where you're getting your money from. You know, it's all about being responsible. It's all about doing things the grown way. And I hate to see good people lose their freedom, lose their time because they make bad decisions when it comes to money. Because at the end of the day, money is literally just paper. You know, we hear that saying, but that's literally all it is. It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by any type of precious metal, nothing. It's just paper. We go out and work for it because we live in a system that tells us we need money to survive. That's what it is. So people that have this money over everything mindset and will do anything to get it, those are the ones that fall, and they fall hard. You know, I've been working for a long time, and I'm just now recently getting into looking at other ways to, like I mentioned earlier, develop some passive income to supplement, my regular work checks. And to me, that is the best way to do it, because there's nothing wrong with having that safety net, just like there's nothing wrong with doing a little extra to bring in more. Like, you can do both. It doesn't have to be one or the other, and that's how a lot of people try to make it. It's like either you're going to be full-time hustling or full-time working, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. It doesn't have to be like that. Now, granted, if you're working a job and you develop some kind of side hustle, no matter what it is, if you develop something that you love to do or something that you're really good at that's really lucrative for you and it takes over and you know, you're making way more money in it, you have less effort, less time, by all means, jump head first into it. But too many times, you see people, you know, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go out here and sell straws on the side of the sidewalk. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. Like, you can't, it has to be practical. You have to use your common sense about stuff like this. Because at the end of the day, these bills don't stop, you know. The money might stop, but these responsibilities won't. And that was one thing that I've always made sure to stay on top of, was if I was working a job that I didn't like, I'll take that back. I have walked off one job and didn't care about anything else, but I took my ass back to the temp agency and found another one. But other than that, I would never leave a job until I had something better, not same or something worse, until I had something better lined up. It was always a smooth transition. And I think that equates to somebody in the streets. Like, if somebody is, you're selling, we won't name stuff, but if you're selling one thing and it's not really, you're not really seeing a profit off of it, and somebody puts you on to something else and you start selling that, like, that's the same smooth transition. You're putting yourself in a better position to make more money. But one of the main differences is there's no stress, zero stress attached to the 9-to-5 side of it, about, you know, going from one thing to the next, unless you're not good at anything and you just have no lane and you have no idea of what you want to do, then you're overloaded with stress. But as far as the hustling side goes, you can get stuff from somebody that's no good. You can get in business with somebody that's just a rat. You can get in business. It's all kind of avenues of stress that can come with it. Once again, I'm not here to steer anybody from doing one or the other. I'm just here to tell you that it doesn't have to be a judgmental thing. It doesn't have to be, oh, well, I'm better than you because you work, or I'm better than you because you hustle. We have to get off of that. We got to get off of that, because there are things that somebody, you know, I have friends that do both. You know, I can sit in a boardroom with a bunch of corporate people, and I can leave work and go and sit with somebody and drink Hennessy, like, and just chill on a block. Like, I can do both of them, so I know both sides of it. You know, I've done both for years, and that goes to, you know, being black, we have to wear more than one hat. We have to wear plenty of hats, because when we're out in public, people already have this assumption of who we are, you know, and if somebody from my job seeing me, you know, going to the grocery store, they could think I'm just the average everyday street thug from, if I got on sweats and tennis shoes and hoodie, like, they automatically assume that, not knowing I'm the furthest thing from it. Like, I got a squeaky clean record. I have, you know, that's one thing I've always made sure was on point with me. Like, I'm clean as a whistle. But like I said, going back to this, as black people, we have to make sure we can cover our grounds with how we move around. And that's like one of the, that's one of the things I do pride myself on, is I understand both sides. So I can speak to both groups of people, like, you know what, you might want to move smarter about this. You might not want to do that. You know, I can teach somebody how to fill out an application perfectly. I can teach somebody how to interview perfectly. And I can teach somebody, you might want to stay away from this person in the street. I guarantee they'll stab you in the back. So, not to my own horn, but I'm somebody to listen to when it comes to both subjects. Like I said, now I'm not no street legend or nothing like that, but I do know a little bit. So I guess to really round it out, I'd say this: if you hustle, hustle with a purpose. Look for other things to get involved in that can gradually get you away from these things that can land you in places you don't need to be. Because at the end of the day, you have people that depend on you. You have people that love you. You have people that need you around. And if you are, you know, in the instance that you do something to where you're stripped from them, it little do people in the streets that hustle know, it hurts the ones around you more than it's going to hurt you, because they're the ones from the outside looking in. They know you're a good person, but there's a system out here that's already looking to slam us regardless. So if that happens, it hurts them. It hurts us, the ones that care for you, more than it hurts you. And people that are going to work, if you feel like, you know, whatever you're making isn't enough, look outside of it. Like, it's all kind of ways to, it's work from home stuff. You can build stuff. It's all kind of stuff to do to make extra money out here. So, you know, you don't got to rush through life, though. You don't have to just jump into the first thing. Find something you enjoy doing, you know, master it. And, you know, hopefully universe is willing, it'll turn into money for you. You know, you just have to stay at it. You have to, you know, stay on top of it. So, yeah, man, that's kind of what I wanted to tackle today. Stop judging each other. If you can offer some advice to somebody that you think will further them, give it to them. You know, we're too stingy with, it's crazy and it's sad. We're too stingy with our, what we've learned along the way. We're too stingy with our advice. We're too stingy with our knowledge, because we just have this whole complex to where we have to hold everything tight to ourselves. And, you know, if we feel like if we give somebody an inch, they're always going to take a mile. And that's not always the case. Be more open about things you've picked up along the way. Be more open about things you can teach people. You know, it might be somebody younger, might be somebody older. Either way, we have to get better at that and stop looking at each other like, okay, well, you're doing this, so you're not really getting no money. You're not doing this. I am, because I'm into this. We have to get off of that. Yeah, man, that's another episode of The Scrolls. Like I said, I want to thank y'all again for tuning in and sticking with me and riding it out. We're only going to get better, and we out of here. Peace.